Okay, my experience in home working with the steps, you know, I didn't bring my glasses and I asked Leah to help me with the steps, but she's way, way back there, so I'll fake it here. No. Okay, the first one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol in our lives, that our lives had become unmanageable. And, it, you know, when I came to the program, I think I had already accepted that I could not change people, places, and things in my life. And my life was completely unmanageable. I tried to fix my father. You know, I tried killing him. You know, I tried my sisters, my husband, everybody. And I was always discontent with my life. And so I stopped eating. You know, my life became completely unmanageable. I stopped combing my hair. I stopped eating. I have always been thin, but I was thinner. I had anemia. The style of clothes had changed, and I had not noticed that. So my life was a total chaos. And everything was black around me, and there was just no way out. Our Alan on Literature and the one day at a time talks about, you know, when we want to change people, places, and things, it's like if we stand in front of the ocean and we want to hold the waves back, it's just impossible. And I tend, you know, I started going crazy, and I heard voices that were not there, and my heart was always shaking. I had this feeling inside of me, you know, that, you know, when you cry and you cry a lot, and it's just like, and it stays there, and it was there every single day. So I remember I love eating cereal, cornflakes, and flour tortillas, and that was my favorite thing to eat. And I remember I would start eating, and tears would come out of my eyes, and then the tears will fall on the cereal. And I stopped eating, so my life was a total chaos when I came to Al-Anon, and I needed a lot of help. And of course, I got a sponsor, and he helped me with the steps, and so he gently guided me through step two. Okay, and you know, I thought about writing some questions and doing this cool stuff, professional, but we're not professional here. So I am a member of Alan, and it's all in our literature. So there's a lot of questions on the paths to recovery, starting on page 15, if I can see it right. Is it 15? Anyway, I'm working on step one. So there's a lot of nice questions there that sometimes meetings, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes meetings, people run out of things to say, or we are too shy to share something. We just don't want to, you know, be part of, or, I don't know, scared to say something wrong. And so in those cases, I pull out my book. I go, I'm not going to this question. Do you want to go around and talk about your experience, strength, and hope with question one? Do you have any problems with that? So anyways, so there are a lot of nice questions. And after I admitted that I was powerless over people, places, and things, and I started managing my life, it's like, what can I do today? What can I do? Well, gosh, I don't have to cry, you know. I started empowering myself with this strength that, wow, I don't have to fix anybody. All I have to do is fix myself. You know, whatever happened in the past or in the future is in the hands of God. So today I'm just going to take care of myself and manage my life. So I'm going to, you know, go get a haircut. And I'm going to dress nice. You know, this pamphlet of Just for Today is wonderful. It gives us, when we are confused, I know when I'm confused, I'm like, okay, well, what can I do for today? Okay, so just for today, I'm going to empower myself and take care of me. I can manage this one day. Okay, so what can I do? Well, what do I like to do? It's like, I like running, so I'm going to go for a run and take care of myself And for today, I don't have to take care of anybody else. All I can do is manage my life, okay? But how do I get there? You know, how do I get all this mixed up way of thinking? Well, I'm on the second step. Let's see, instead of looking through this. Oh, reading glasses. Thank you. Okay, they're too strong. Okay, I can read them right here. Okay. Thank you. So, came to believe that a power greater than us, than ourselves, could restore us to sanity. Oh, a pair of glasses. See, God takes care of us. Oh, these are better. Thank you. So, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Okay. I don't like God. All right. When I first came into the program, I didn't like God. So I had nothing to do with God. But our step two tells us that it doesn't have to be a God. It can be a power greater than ourselves, whatever that is. So I made an inventory. What can help me? What feels good right here? So I went to my sponsor and I said, I don't believe in God. You know, the God of my understanding is a punishing God. He hates me. I hate him back. And so nothing to do with God. And he said, well, just fake it. You know, fake it till you make it. Just believe that you have that you trust something greater than you. And I said, well, what's greater than me? What helps me? And I'm from Ensenada, Mexico, and I grew up in the ocean. And I remember going to the ocean and swimming and just feeling this peacefulness in inside of me. And every time I'm by the water, I get this peaceful feeling. So the ocean, the water became my higher power. And so when I started going crazy, you know, those thoughts, oh, should I kill myself today, you know, or wanting to fix somebody, or, you know, my way of thinking about step two when I'm totally insane is, I don't know if you guys been in rough waters in the ocean, you know, the water goes choom, choom, big waves. And so my head is that way. When I have problems, when I can't think what's right, what's wrong, you know, my head starts going like this, you know, big waves. And I asked, you know, the ocean, you know, back then it was the ocean. Today is God. Thanks God. I understood that that there is a God and God created the ocean. And so I asked God to return me to sanity. Can you calm my waters down? Because I'm going crazy. I have, I have a lot of alcoholics in my life. Not only my father, I have a daughter who's an alcoholic, and my sisters and everybody. And I want everybody to be happy. And but that's insanity. So I asked God, you know, to help me with just one thing for one day, you know, one thing. What can he help me with? If I'm having problems at work and it's just taking over my life, well, I'm going to ask God, can you help me think better? Can you return me to this way of thinking that is peacefulness? Can you help me live just one day at a time, you know, 1 minute at a time, not try to tackle the problems at once? And I remember I had the hardest time getting a higher power. And I, one day, you know, I kept doing this, what my sponsor told me to do, fake it till you make it, just fake it till you make it. And one day, I had gotten in a big fight with my husband. And that morning, it was on a Saturday morning, and I left. I was so angry. Thank God there was a meeting. So I went to the 10 o'clock meeting on Saturday morning, and I left my kids without breakfast. I got in a fight with my husband, and then I went to a meeting. And in this meeting, for some reason, people forgot the key. You know, somebody didn't have the key. And I thought, my gosh, I really need a meeting and nobody has the key. And people were talking outside and they were laughing. And I said, nobody talked to me for some reason. And I felt like, well, gosh, nobody's talking to me. They just told me that they were all laughing. And then I thought, well, I'm not going to stand here. I need to go back and fix this problem at home. You know, and I had already been in the program. So I got in the car, and I had this empty feeling inside of me. And I got in the car, and I remember my sponsor telling me, just trust there is a God, a higher power, and fake it till you make it, and ask for help. Ask for help. So I was so angry, and I didn't know how to fix this head of mine. And there was just so many waves going inside of my head that I just said, okay, if there is a God, please help me. I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm in the program. People love me. I love them back. And I have these kids that I left with my husband, and this person that is sober today, I'm fighting with him. I'm fighting with everybody. And so in that moment, I was in a stoplight. In that moment, I said, please help me, in that moment, something switched inside of me. And I looked around, and it was a warm day. There was a lot of trees, and there was sparkles on the trees, on the leaves, and I felt peacefulness. And on that day, I understood what a higher power was. And I had been in the program, so I started using the tools of the program to help me. Okay, my One Day at a Time book talks about, you know, now that we have found this recovery and we're surrounded by friends, we have a fellowship, we have friends that we go out for coffee, but how is my family doing? How is my family doing? I left the kids without breakfast. I went back to the house and I saw my house was a mess. You know, I was just taking care of me. I had become insane in another way, just self-absorption. I was just taking care of me. So I asked God to return me to sanity, and things started unfolding. And I went to my husband, and I apologized because I was the one that had started the fight. And I helped the kids clean their room, and they were little. They were little kids at that time. And my husband was happy that I admitted that I was wrong, and we went out, you know, out of the city and had a great weekend together. But if it wasn't because I started working on step two and started looking at myself instead of others, I don't know where I'll be today. So step two, asking God to return me to sanity on any little thing, you know, that does not feel peaceful, It's how I understand step two, and of course there's questions on page. Well, you guys have it. So, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Okay, so now I have a God. But who is this God? Okay, so it says how I understand God. Okay, so I don't like that God from a church. You know, I don't like that God on television. I don't like my mom's God or that neighbor's God or, you know, how I understand God. Okay, so I'm a fun person. I love to laugh, you know. So I want the God, you know, I want my God to be my best friend, you know, to not criticize me. I want Him to understand me and love me and guide me and laugh with me and run with me when I go on these runs. I just want the God, you know, that is my best friend, but it's going to tell me what's right and what's wrong. And so I got that God, right? So that is my God, how I understand Him. And because I don't know the right way of doing things, I'm going to ask God to guide me, because my way of thinking hasn't worked. I have lived with the disease of alcoholism for so many years that my way of thinking is distorted. I don't know what's right, and I don't know what's wrong, you know. So, but God knows, because I understand that He's returning me to sanity. And step three, I'm asking Him to guide me. Okay, so in the morning, I said, okay, God, what do you have planned for me today? Let's have a good day. Okay, so, and because in the morning, I turned my life and my will over to the care of God, as I understand Him, I know I'm going to have a good day. And if the day starts going uncomfortable, I know that God is there right with me. He's with me. He's with me wherever I go. And so I'm asking God to guide me. And, you know, I have a job that it can be dangerous sometimes. And I say, well, God, if it's my day to die, it's my day to die. And because that's your will. And I accept that. It doesn't matter how rough the day gets. I know you're with me. And I totally trust that God is with me, and I'm going to be okay. Whatever happens, I'm going to be okay, because I have turned my life and my will over to His care. One day I was in a meeting, and I had and I was graduating from Al-Anon. I thought I was well, you know. I had been in the program for a year, and I thought I was well. And I said, and I had a, you know, it was Ralph, my sponsor, gave me a cake, and it was my year cake, and I had already been a secretary and treasurer and whatever, and I was saying goodbye to everybody secretly, but not telling them I was not coming back. And then this woman, you know, this woman approached me, and she said, Magdalena, will you be my sponsor? Gosh. So I said, I don't know. Let me ask my sponsor. So I went up to my sponsor, and I said, well, can I sponsor? And he said, well, you have done step 1, 2, 3, 4, and you work in 5, and you're working on the others. Sure, you can sponsor. So I said, okay. So I went up to this woman, and I said, it'll be my honor to be your sponsor. And she said, oh, good. And we agreed that she was going to call me during the weekend. And you know what? She never called me, and she never came back. So I thought, you know, before that I thought, well, gosh, if I'm going to be sponsoring somebody, I better stay in Al-Anon. So, and, you know, so I decided to keep coming back, but she never did. So, if it wasn't, but, you know, that morning I had turned my life and my will over to the care of God. Even though I didn't want His help on that evening, on the meeting, He was there with me. And because of that, I'm here today. So we never know what happens when we turn our life and our will over to the care of God. You know, and our program all talks about living one day at a time. Step three talks about whether, you know, if our day is going rough, you know, we can stop the day and say, okay, God, I'm turning my life and my will over to your care. And then we start all over. You know, our day starts whenever we want to. It doesn't have to start at 7 or 6 or 5 in the morning. It starts when we choose to start it. Okay, so step 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Okay. You know, step 4, a lot of people seem to feel uncomfortable about doing step 4. I know I was excited about doing step 4. And in our literature says that if we have not worked on steps 1, 2, and 3, we should not start on step 4. Okay? And step 4, I asked my sponsor said, you know, this is how you do step 4. It's really simple, he says. He says, you know how When the only thing it talks about is taking an inventory. That's it. Just take an inventory. Is that you go to the refrigerator and you open the door and you see there's a gallon of milk, there's so much cheese, there's, you know, whatever food in there. Then that's taking an inventory, right? Then you go to your doors and then you see there's a can of beans, a can of, you know, milk or whatever. That's taking an inventory. So you look and see what's in there. So taking an inventory is you look at yourself in the mirror, okay, and you don't criticize anything on yourself. You know, just look in your eyes. Just go straight to your eyes. And your eyes are the windows to the window to your soul. So what do you see in there? And you write it down. So I looked at myself, and I want to tell you that I was afraid, you know, to look at myself because I thought I was going to find what my alcoholic father had told me, that I was stupid, that I was good for nothing, and, you know, on and on. Whatever he told me, I believed. So that was my image. Whatever my father told me, I believed. Or what other people told me, negative stuff, I believed. So I thought that's what I was going to find. But I knew on step two that God was taking care of me. I couldn't change those people on step one. God was taking care of me on step two. And on step three, he was guiding me. And I knew I was going to be okay because my higher power was guiding me. And so I knew he loved me and I was going to be okay. So I started writing, what do you see in there? Well, I saw a little girl who was very scared. I was scared. And what happened? Why were you scared? Well, because of whatever happened as a child. You know, I was scared. And I had a lot of love. I love people. I just love people. And I wanted to help. You know, I wanted to help every which way possible. And because, you know, so I was a loving person. I was afraid, and I was a loving person. So I wrote it down, you know. And then I saw that I was insecure. So, okay, I'm afraid to, you know, today I'm staying in Sharon's home, and she's been so wonderful. But at one time, I could not go into somebody else's home because I was scared. So I was very timid. So I wrote down, you know, I'm timid. I'm insecure. I feel a rejection. You know, so, okay, I have that. Okay, and so I wrote the things that I'm, you know, the negatives and positives. And that's all. It doesn't tell me, you know, to do anything else other than take an inventory. And so I show this, you know, at one time I wanted to fix people so bad that I asked somebody, you know, even though there was a God, can I be a saint? You know, can I please be a saint and just do the magic thing and fix people? You know, so I had the illusion, you know, so I was insane. So the illusional part that I could fix somebody. So that was in my list as well. I had this anger inside of me. I was so angry. So where did that anger came from? Well, it was when my father was beating me up and I was so powerless over what he did. You know, I was a little kid. There was nothing I could do. But you know, in step one, I had understood that alcoholism was a disease. So my father is sick. He was not well. And so I couldn't blame him anymore. My father is sick. He's still drinking today. And so I put that you know, all my insecurities, all my insanities, everything, I put him on that list. And so I share him. You know, God knew already. You know, and it says on step five that admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Okay, so I was also a bad mother, so I put that in there. I'm a bad mother. I did not want to love my kids. You know, how do you love when you haven't been taught how to love? You know, how do you know these things? Well, I learned in the program, you know, how to love by others loving me. Then you give love to others. So I put that down, and so I share that with God. God already knew, but I believe this step five is for us to admit it to God. Okay, I'm not, you know, yes, I did some wrong things, but this is what happened, and this anger, you know, that I, you know, my father had this anger towards me, then I had it towards my sisters, towards my mom, towards, you know, other people, places and things, and then my kids. And so when I used to get angry, it was like a big power that took over my life. It's like Magdalena was out of town. You know, I wasn't there anymore. It was this anger that just destroyed things. And so I put that there. And I told God, well, this is what happened. This is why I'm so angry, God. And then I shared with my sponsor. You know, I admitted to myself, okay, this is what happened. And then with my sponsor. And so that's how, you know, we admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. And I got together with Ralph, and Ralph and I, he said, it's okay, I've done some of those things too, Magdalena. I couldn't believe this well Englishman, you know, will have done some crazy stuff. But he shared some of his fifth step with me too. But just saying it out, you know, taking it out is like the secrets come out. It's delivery of this negativity that has oppressed my heart, myself, my life. Everything, it has walked with me, you know, for so many years. I was 25 years old when I got into the program. And so 25 years of carrying this garbage because I didn't know what to do with it. So when I gave it to my sponsor, he's like, okay, it's fine, you know, let it go. And it's like, you mean I'm not the only one? We tend to believe that we're special, but we're not. It's just, you know, it's a disease of alcoholism, understanding that it's a disease, and it wasn't my father's fault that he was sick. It wasn't the other alcoholic's fault. It's just the disease. It's a disease that it affects all of us. So on step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Okay, so I'm contemplating them. Okay, step six tells me, you know, be ready. What is it that you don't want? What is it that you need? And so I looked, okay, so anger is one of the things that I just don't want in my life. It's affecting me. It's affecting me all along. I get angry and I start shaking. I start shaking and I start remembering things and I just, I stop eating. I want to kill somebody. So anger. Okay, I'm ready to have God remove this anger. How am I going to do this? Well, I'm going to ask God, you know. Step six, ask God. Okay, how do I get this insecurity out? Okay, how? I just want to, I don't want to be scared. I want to feel good about myself. I want to get up and know that God is within me because He is. Why am I putting my anger between God and me? It's not helping me. I need to get rid of it. And these insecurities that I have, you know, I have been shoplifting since I was a little girl. As a child, it was for food. Now I'm older now and helping the alcoholics. So I'm shoplifting with them, you know, and I'm just crazy. And I need to get rid of this insecurity, you know. And I'm now in the program. I'm still doing crazy stuff, like going to the store and buying. I like to buy the, I don't know if you guys have a Fred Meyer store here, but it's a store where you can ground your own almond butter and your peanut butter. You know, so you press the button. So I will get, you know, the almond butter and put a peanut butter lid on it. Yeah. So it'll be less expensive. And I'm in a program now. And I'm doing this insanity. me and my fellow members of this world. It's just, I'm stealing. And so, on step seven, humbly asking to remove our shortcomings. Okay, step six, when time is ready, well, I'm only asking to remove it because it's not helping me anymore. It's not helping me. And on step seven, you know, step seven, how I understand it is like, I need to tell everybody, okay, I have been looking at it. And it talks about in our book that it's like peeling the layers of an onion. It's like, okay, I'm looking at it. Okay, it doesn't help anymore. Okay, I think I'm ready. Okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready, totally ready. And I have this little girl. My husband and I have two kids. And we decided that since we came from really poor background, it was our time to take care of ourselves. So we decided to just have two kids. And we said, well, if we ever want another kid, we can always adopt one. And we agreed that it was time to bring a child into our home. And we brought this kid, and this kid just hated us. he hated us. She ran away. And she would talk, and I took her to our team meetings, and I did my very, very best. We both did. And I started hating this kid. Oh, my God. And I was angry at me because a child, but she just hated us too. And one day, and I was angry, and you know, Alan teaches me that when I'm angry and it's coming out of my mouth, I better not say anything. Just don't say anything because I it's hard for me to say something. If I'm angry with my husband, I just don't talk to him because I know anger is going to come out. So I don't want that. I know what anger does in my life, so today I'm not going to let it come out. And I'm going to look into steps 1 to 7, okay? So, this kid decided just to run away one of these days, and I was angry with her. And then she called me. She said, can you come and pick me up? And she was about 14 years old, and she was in love with this man who was 22 years old. And I knew it was child molestation, and I called law enforcement and or CPS, Child Protective Services. They didn't do anything, and so she said, come and pick me up, and I wanted to pick her up. And this kid had been beat up by this man. All her clothes was there. And she looked really bad, and she smelled really bad. And this man didn't want to let her go, but she was scared. And in that moment, I had been asking God to remove this anger that I had towards this kid, this anger that has been taking over my life for years. And although it was getting smaller, by practicing our 6 and 7 step, our character defects begin to shrink because God is listening, even though we might think he's not. He is listening, so the character defects begin to increase its power to dominate us. And so I want to get this kid, and in that moment, I have compassion for this kid. And I saw her as a wounded woman, and I grabbed her, and I pushed the door away from this man, and I grabbed her arm, and I pulled her out of there, and I gave her a hug, and I took her home, and the anger disappeared. And, you know, the kid didn't stay, she ran away again, and this time she never called me back, and she was in the hands of God, and, you know, on and on. And but at that moment, perhaps, you know, God brought this little kid in my life for me to work that anger. And now it's So if I stop doing service, if I stop watching television, it comes back. So just for today, I'm not going to stop doing any of those things because it's what's saving my life. It's what's, you know, helping me have the life, the quality of life that I have today. So that's step seven. Insecure is, it's another thing, you know, that I also have I ask God to help me in being afraid. Well, fear is it's a good feeling. You know, if I'm crossing the street and the lights are, you know, the cars are going fast, but I want to cross the street and I'm not afraid that a car might hit me, well, gosh, I'm going to cross the street and I'm going to get hit, right? So it's good to have fear, but it's been what did you do?
And I have a very good mother that I just did not like. She didn't like me either. She didn't like me because I ate a lot. You know, kids, we eat a lot. And when I would go to my grandmother's house, my great grandmother lived with my grandmother for a while before she died. And every time I would go to her house, she would say, "Well, hide the food because Magdalena's coming." And my grandma would get mad. She's like, "No, she can eat whatever's in the house." And so I knew that she didn't like me, and she smoked, you know. And it's like, well, she has cancer. How can she smoke? So I just didn't like her, you know.
My mother, and I would send her, you know, I would do the things that people say. So I would send her a card. I would send her a picture. She never responded. I would send her flowers. She never acknowledged them. Nothing. But
we still talk.
But there was that closeness was not there. And one day, you know, my grandma was dying. And my grandma and I have always been really, really close. And there was no need for me to travel over there. I had made my peace with my grandma. But
I went
because it was grandma and she was dying. So I went to when my grandma was dying and my grandma was in a coma and I got to sit next to my mom and my mom said, talk to grandma. So I was talking to my grandma and I was telling her, thank you for the teaching me, you know, the smell of flowers and all that stuff. And my mom started to cry. And she started to cry. And I turned around to my mom and I, in our program, when somebody starts crying, we give them hope and we start rubbing their back. So I started rubbing my mom's back, and she turned around and she gave me a big hug. And I knew that she had forgiven me. And in that moment, my grandmother opened her eyes and she put a big smile on her face. And then we all turned around and she slipped back into her coma and died. And those are the gifts of the program. Today I have a relationship with my mom, you know, that it's hard sometimes because she's not in the program. But today I don't find her. She has been affected by the disease of alcoholism and she doesn't have a program. She doesn't want it, and that's okay. I can love her just the way she is. On step 10, continue to take personal inventory when we were wrong.
Step 10. Okay, so one day I was the third step is just to take an inventory and we are really, really wrong. It's not easy. I try to do one every night and or during the day or whatever. One day I was mad at my son for some reason and he left for and I yelled at him. I yelled at my son and I'm in the program, what's wrong with me? Why am I so insane? Okay. So my sponsor said, okay, when you can't find the problem, you know, any problem that you have in life, you'll find the answer on the 12 steps. So just go down the list. Okay, so I did that. Okay, so I, insanity, I yelled at my son. There was not enough reason. And he went to school, he was in high school, but he went to school and he had a sad look on his face. And I just felt, oh, I felt awful. And then here I tried to go, you know, hitting myself. You're such a bad mother. You're in the program. You should know better. Listening to what God has to tell me. I remember at one time
and I still have a job.
But, you know, when we talked about God listens and he gives us the answer, we just need to be quiet and listen, to be receptive. So step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all affairs. Okay, we don't have to get to the 12th step to start practicing the principles. You can practice them anytime, you know. Thank you so very much for allowing me to do this workshop.